The following is a seminar entitled Shraddha to Prema, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 4th, 2013, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, London, England.
So I'll introduce myself, since you may not know me. I'm Sankarshan Dasathikari. I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I'm traveling with my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, to many places around the world in our ISKCON movement to get inspired and enlivened by your association and to share the wonderful mercy of Prabhupada. I was very delighted tonight to find out that tonight I've been asked to speak on a very nectarian topic. From Shraddha to Prema. It's a very, very enlivening, inspiring topic. And we have a reading tonight from the authoritative purport of Srila Prabhupada, his translation and purport to the Narada Bhakti Sutra 1-2. He didn't translate all of it, but he translated and purported some of the verses. In this particular verse, 1-2, he gave a very, very elaborate purport in which he described the process of going from Shraddha, which is preliminary faith, to Prema, which is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So it's a it's not often read, but it's a very powerful, enlivening purport. So to invoke auspiciousness, repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Slatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. Translation. Devotional service manifests as the most elevated pure love for God. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated before, after attaining the highest stage of self-realization, one becomes situated in devotional service to the Lord. The perfection of devotional service is to attain love of God. Love of God involves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Self-realization, the Brahma-Bhuta stage, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20, is the beginning of spiritual life. It is not the perfectional stage. If a person understands that he is not his body and that he has nothing to do with this material world, he becomes free from material entanglement. But that realization is not the perfectional stage. The perfectional stage begins with activity in the self-realized position. And that activity is based on the understanding that a living entity is eternally the subordinate servitor of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, there's no meaning to self-realization. If one is puffed up with the idea that he is the Supreme Brahman, or that he has become one with Narayan, or that he is merged into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence, then he has not grasped the perfection of life. As Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32 states, Yene ravindaksha vimukta maninas tvayastava vadvishuddha buddhyaha avruya krishchena parang padam tata patant yado nadrita dushma dangrayaha. Persons who are falsely puffed up, thinking that they have become liberated simply by understanding their constitutional position as Brahman or spirit soul, are factually still contaminated. Their intelligence is impure because they have no understanding of the personality of Godhead, and ultimately they fall down from their puffed up position. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, there are three levels of transcendentalists: the self-realized knowers of the impersonal Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, the knowers of the Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Supreme, which is understood by the process of mystic yoga, and the bhaktas, who are in the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in his devotional service. Those who understand simply that the living being is not matter but spirit soul, and who desire to merge into the Supreme Spirit Soul, are in the lowest transcendental position. Above them are the mystic yogis, who by meditation see within their hearts the four-handed Vishnu form of the Paramatma or Supersoul. But persons who actually associate with the Supreme Lord are the highest among the transcendentalists. In the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 6:47, the Lord confirms this. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmana shadavan bhajate yomang samayukta tamo mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. This is the highest perfectional stage known as prema, or love of God, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15.16. Srila Rupa Goswami, a great authority in the devotional line, describes the different stages in coming to the point of love of Godhead. Adaushradha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato narta navittisyat tato nishta vrjastataha atasaktis tato bhavas tata prema bhudanchati sadakanam yang prema pradur bhave bhavet kramaha. This is quoted in the CC Majja 23:14 and 15. If you want to look up that verse in the books, besides the Narada Bhakti Sutra. The first requirement is that one should have sufficient faith that the only process for attaining love of Godhead is bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches that one should give up all other processes of self-realization and fully surrender unto him. That is faith. One who has full faith in Krishna, Shraddha, and surrenders unto him is eligible for being raised to the level of prema, which Lord Chaitanya taught us as the highest perfectional stage of life. Some persons are addicted to materially motivated religion, while others are addicted to economic development, sense gratification, or the idea of salvation from material existence. But prema, love of God, is above all these. The highest stage of love is above mundane religiosity, above economic development, above sense gratification, and above even liberation or salvation. Thus, love of God begins with the firm faith that one who engages in full devotional service has attained perfection in all of these processes. The next stage is the process of elevation to love of God. That stage is sadhu sangha. You can refer to CC Majja 28.83 in this connection. Association with persons already in the highest stage of love of God. One who avoids such association and simply engages in mental speculation or so-called meditation cannot be raised to the perfectional platform. But one who associates with pure devotees or an elevated devotional society, think ISKCON, goes to the next stage, bhajana kriya, or acceptance of the regulated principles of worshipping the Supreme Lord. One who associates with the pure devotee of the Lord naturally accepts that person as his spiritual master and When the neophyte devotee accepts a pure devotee as his spiritual master, the duty of the spiritual master is to train the neophyte in the principles of regulated devotional service, or vaidhi bhakti. At this stage, the devotee's service is based on his capacity to serve the Lord. The expert spiritual master engages his followers in work that will gradually develop their consciousness of the service of the Lord, of the service to the Lord. Therefore, the preliminary stage of understanding prema, love of God, is to approach a proper, pure devotee, accept him as one's spiritual master, and execute regulated devotional service under his guidance. The next stage is called anartha nivritti, in which all the misgivings of material life are vanquished. A person gradually reaches this stage by regularly performing the primary principles of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. There are many bad habits we acquire in the association of material contamination, chief of which are illicit sexual relationships, eating animal food, indulging in intoxication, and gambling. The first thing the expert spiritual master does when he engages his disciple in regulated devotional service is to instruct him to abstain from these four principles of sinful life. Since God is supremely pure, one cannot rise to the highest perfectional stage of love of God without being purified. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:12, when Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord, he said, "Pavittam paramam bhavan," you are the purest of the pure. The Lord is the purest, and thus anyone who wants to serve the Supreme Lord must also be pure. Unless a person is pure, he can neither understand what the personality of Godhead is, nor engage in his service in love. For devotional service, as stated before, begins from the point of self-realization when all misgivings of material life are vanquished. After following the regulator principles and purifying the material senses, one attains the stage of nishtha, firm faith in the Lord. When a person has attained this stage, no one can deviate him from the conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can persuade him that God is impersonal without a form, or that any form created by imagination can be accepted as God. Those who espouse these more or less nonsensical conceptions of the Supreme Lord cannot dissuade him from firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses in many verses that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but despite the Lord Krishna's distressing this point, despite Lord Krishna's stressing this point, many so-called scholars and commentators still deny the personal conception of the Lord. One famous scholar wrote in his commentary in the Bhagavad Gita that one does not have to surrender to Lord Krishna or even accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but one should rather surrender to the Supreme within Krishna. Such fools do not know what is within and what is without. They comment on the Bhagavad Gita according to their own whims. Such persons cannot be elevated to the highest stage of love of Godhead. They may be scholarly, and they may be elevated in other departments of knowledge, but they are not even neophytes in the process of attaining the highest stage of perfection, love of Godhead. Nishtha implies that one should accept the words of Bhagavad Gita, the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as they are, without any deviation or nonsensical commentary. If a person is fortunate enough to vanquish all misgivings caused by material existence and rise up to the stage of nishtha, he can then rise to the stages of ruchi, taste, and asakti, attachment for the Lord. Asakti is the beginning of love of Godhead. By progressing, one then advances to the stage of relishing a reciprocal exchange with the Lord in ecstasy, bhava. Every living entity is eternally related to the Supreme Lord, and this relationship may be in any one of many transcendental humors. at the stage called asakti, attachment, a person can understand his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When he understands his position, he begins reciprocating with the Lord. By constant reciprocation with the Lord, the devotee is elevated to the highest stage of love of Godhead, prema. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganvitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dandita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tadine. So, this wonderful pathway, the Shraddha to Prema pathway, is very kindly given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Rupa Goswami was given by Lord Chaitanya, and it has come down to our specific line. How to get out of this horrible, hellish material existence? I mean, it's really horrible, isn't it? It's a wretched existence, this material existence. Thing is, we get conditioned to it. Well, it's not so bad. We imagine that it's okay because we can't imagine to be in a place where there's no happiness. So we imagine that there's happiness here, actually. There is no, there's not even a pinch of happiness in this material existence. But if we can connect with this wonderful process, Shraddha to Prema, Krishna consciousness process, then we can actually experience true happiness, true bliss, you see. And there are two, you're either in one position or the other, you see. Satyarananda Vigraha, to have an eternal form which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. Or Asat, Achit, Nirananda. You can be living in eternity or you can be caught up in temporality. You can be living with full knowledge, or you can be in complete ignorance. You can be tasting the sweetest ecstasy at every minute, or you can be suffering in a state of misery, you see. So our present position, asat, achit, nirananda, that is our present position. But if one can take this pathway, very wonderfully chalked out by Srila Prabhupada, I mean, he made it so practical. No acharya has ever made it so accessible in the history of the universe. Do you realize how fortunate we are to be at Prabhupada's lotus feet? No acharya has ever made it this practical. So you just got to have some faith to get started. You don't need any big PhD, or you don't need to have, you know, £1 million in the bank, or you don't have to be good looking, or you don't have to be strong and healthy. I mean, there's no qualification except have some faith. That's all you have to do to begin this pathway. Just have a little faith. Shraddha is called preliminary faith, you see. Just have some preliminary faith. There's got to be some meaning to this existence. It couldn't just be, you know, work, work, work until you drop dead. It has to be more than that. And God couldn't be so cruel. I mean, if the lotus flower is so beautiful, life couldn't be that ugly, you see. Just work until you drop dead. It couldn't be that bad. It's got to be something more than work, work, work until you drop dead. It has to be something more than that, you see. One has that little faith, there has to be something good behind this. Let me find out what is that ultimate good, you see. Shreya uttamam, you see. Let me find out what is ultimate. I have some faith that there's something beyond this miserable situation, you see. So then one seeks out, what is that ultimate good? What is the highest truth, you see? How can I find personality of Godhead, Supreme Lord. You see, how can I connect with him? You see, I have some faith. You see. So if one has that inkling, even the slightest tinge of a tendency, you see, then he can begin this pathway. If one is sincere to find out the ultimate good, the highest truth, the true meaning of existence, if one has that sincere yearning within the heart, then the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is seated as Paramatma, Super Soul, he can say, oh, this person is now, he's been wandering through the 8,400,000 species for millions and millions of lifetimes. Now he's interested. He's becoming interested to get beyond this material existence. So I will connect him with this process of Krishna consciousness, you see. He'll meet a devotee, he'll get a book, you see. Somehow or other he'll get connected, you see. Because he had that faith. And he's looking. He becomes a seeker, you see. Because he has a faith, there's something out there that I can find that will relieve me from all of my suffering. There's something I can find that will relieve me. He becomes a seeker. And if he's really sincere, he doesn't want to cheat in the name of being a seeker to, you know, another type of sense enjoying, to be a so-called seeker. No, he really wants to find out what is the truth, you see. And then the Lord will then, he will connect him with the bona fide spiritual master to any number of means. And many people, we all have our stories how we came to Krishna consciousness, you see. But in each and every case, we were sincerely looking for something higher. We were hankering for something better. So Krishna had his arrangement that each one of us could somehow get connected with the bona fide spiritual master. And had the opportunity to hear this knowledge, to have the opportunity to taste prasadam, to have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, with that, then once you, that sincere person who has faith, and they get connected with the pure devotee or the society of pure devotees. Of course, how pure are we? But if we're sincerely following Srila Prabhupada, then Prabhupada's potency is manifested through us. Even though we know we're not that pure, but if we're sincerely following, then Prabhupada's potency appears through his sincere followers. So, by plugging into that society of devotees, you see, that Prabhupada mentioned, this purport, then that is called sadhu sangha. We associate with the saintly devotees of the Lord. Those who sincerely on this pathway, purely trying to become, you know, lovers of God. If by connecting with these, this is called sadhu sangha, association with the sadhus, the saintly devotees of the Lord. This is a wonderful facility, you see, that ISKCON has to offer. We have a sadhu sangha facility that everyone can come. Even those who aren't interested yet in self-realization, they're just coming as a matter of social obligation, curiosity, whatever it may be. Everyone can go. We take the Ratha Yatra on the streets. They just by chance happened to be there when the Ratha Yatra came down the street, you see. Even if they're not on the level of Shraddha yet, they're getting sadhu sangha, which can actually awaken the Shraddha within their hearts, you see. So, they get this by this sadhu sangha, then gradually one becomes purified. See, all these sadhus, they're so blissful. These Hare Krishna sadhus, they're tasting so much nectar, they're relishing the bliss. They have so much knowledge of what's going on. They're so loving, they're so kind. Wow, this is really something unique. Maybe I can try doing at least a little bit of the things that they do. You know, Maybe not all of it is a little bit, maybe two more that I can handle. But let me do a little bit of what they're doing, you see. I'll try chanting one round, you know, every day, you know. I'll give up meat eating at least. I don't know about cigarettes, but I'll give up my meat eating at least, you know. So I'll just experiment, you know, do a little bit, take up a little bit of their activities. Wow, that one round is pretty cool. Let me try two. Now four, you know, this way gradually, it's like, you know, he comes to the lake and everybody's swimming and he thinks, well, I don't know, he dips his toes in a little bit more and then finally he says, I'm just going to jump in. You see, when you finally jump in, that's called the Bhajana Kriya stage, when you jump in the lake. When you're still just swishing your toes in the water, that's the Sadhu Sangha stage. When you finally just say, okay, I'm just going to jump in. Bhajana Kriya. Yeah, I mean, go ahead and do it, you know. Get initiated, follow the rules and regulations, chant 16 rounds. Now that's Bhajana Kriya stage. So then, Bhajana Kriya stage, that can be a lifetime stage, actually. Because the next stage is when all the contamination is washed out of the heart. Practically, completely clean down the Anartana Vritti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described these different stages in his Madhurya Kadambini. I have one quote here from right at the end of the book. He kind of summarizes. He says that the initial stage of Bhajana Kriya, meditation of the Supreme Lord, is in little flashes and is always intruded upon by material thoughts. I think many of us can relate to that. Well, every now and then I think about Krishna, but there's a lot of material thoughts in there swirling around in my psyche right now, you know. Every now and then Krishna, yeah, I remember Krishna. Oh, yeah, Krishna, the Supreme Personality, yeah, I remember him. And then, you know, sense gratification once again. Oh, little Krishna, this is called Bhajana Kriya stage, you see. When you got some Krishna consciousness, but there's a lot of crud in there, you know, floating around. Hasn't been flushed out yet. Still floating around. Kind of a gross example, but it's a suitable example. When you finally flush all the crud out, you see, and there's no more dirt in the heart, that's the Anartana Vritti stage. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues. He says, in the nishtha, the jhana meditation is hardly interrupted. I mean, it's like, you know, 99%. Fixed in Krishna consciousness than nishtha states. In the stage of ruchi, the meditation is for longer periods, and that's 99.999999%. And without external interruptions. In asakti, the meditations are deep and profound. Prabhupada actually confirms that in the asakti, it's 100%. When you get to the asakti stage, you're 100% Krishna conscious. In asati, the meditations are deep and profound, and in the bhava stage, the Supreme Lord appears immediately in meditation. I mean, you get to actually see Krishna. He comes to you. You see Krishna. He appears to you in the bhava stage. Finally, in prema, exchanges with the Supreme are constant, direct, and personal. So what happens is, in the asati stage, you actually, as Prabhupada, we mentioned, read just momentarily ago on the purport. In the asakti stage, you actually realize what is your rasa with Krishna in the asakti stage. In bhava, you begin to reciprocate with Krishna in that rasa, and that purifies you even more. And then prema, you're fully established in your eternal identity in the spiritual world. So, for most of us, we're somewhere down there, you know, sadhu sangha. If we're not initiated yet, or if we're initiated, we're battling it out in the Bhajana Kriya, just trying to inch our way forward, you know, in this pathway. At least try to get to nishtha, just firm faith, you see. So, I have actually read that in the nishtha stage, one cannot fall down from Krishna consciousness. That's how advanced nishtha is. You can't fall down from the nishtha platform. So whatever level we're at, we should just, you know, we should endeavor, sincerely endeavor, to our best of our ability. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Try to taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Try to experience the nectar of Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada told one of my god sisters, when you chant your japa, try to feel the presence of Krishna. That means you're really relishing nectar, because associating with Krishna is the perfection of nectar. It is pure amrit, deathless nectar. So we really, to be successful in this pathway, we have to be firmly convinced that there's nothing else really worthy of striving for. Anything else is not very important. You see, economic development, sense gratification, fame, prestige, etc. They're not worth it, really. If one can achieve this one thing, Krishna prema, you see, that surpasses everything else that you could achieve in millions of lifetimes, even achieving the post of Brahma, the topmost personality in this universe. You can be, Prabhupada says, you, in your next life you can become an ant or you can become Brahma. So, even achieving the post of Brahma is not really very important. But if we can achieve prema, so even if we can get to nishta, that's pretty good. Whatever level we're at now, we should just strive to increase our Krishna consciousness. That's the point. Just strive to increase our Krishna consciousness. Every day we should think, now, how can I be more Krishna conscious today than I was yesterday? I may not be able to achieve prema, you know, anytime soon. But if I can at least advance every day, become a little bit more Krishna conscious today than I was yesterday, then if I stay in that mode of always trying to increase my Krishna consciousness, trying to have better feelings, better feelings about devotees who are Krishna's representatives. They are the external manifestations of Krishna, his devotees. The spiritual master also, external manifestation of Krishna. If I can have a better relationship with my spiritual master, I have a better relationship with the Vaishnavas. In this way, always try to increase and improve. I mean, just like a businessman, you see. He's always trying to make more money. Always trying to increase his profits. He's never satisfied. No matter how much money he has, he always wants more. You see, that's a, you know, successful businessman. He's always trying to increase his profits. So we can have that same enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. How can I be more Krishna conscious? Because there's only one true wealth, and that is Krishna consciousness. That's the only wealth. Everything else is poverty. I don't care if you have a billion pounds. If you don't have Krishna consciousness, you are a pauper. The only true wealth is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we should diligently strive to become more wealthy every day. You see? In this way, we can make it gradually, we'll make it. One place in the books, Prabhupada said, it's not possible to become a pure devotee in one lifetime. It's actually stated there. But Prabhupada also said, it is possible. So, that means by Prabhupada, even though it's not really possible, by Prabhupada's mercy, it is possible. For many of us, it may just be, you know, trying to hang on to Bhajana Kriya up until the last minute, you know, following the rules and regulations. For most of us, that's probably what it'll be, you know. Until we can at least stay in Bhajana Kriya, you know, working on anartanavritti, getting all that dirt out of the heart. And if we can die and then sincerely, having followed, practiced bhajana kriya throughout the life, striving to get those anarthas out, that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, that laziness, the fault finding, all these dirts, you see, the anarthas. Sincerely striving to get rid of them, even though we weren't able to get rid of all of them, if we were sincerely striving, you see. Then at that last minute, Krishna can give us very special mercy. If we can remember Krishna, then he will pull us through all those stages. Zip. That last minute, you see. So at least if we can hang on it, bhajana kriya. You know. But we shouldn't think, well, it's okay, then I'll just, you know, I'll just hang on to my anarthas. I'm really that eager to get rid of them. I'll just hang on to my anarthas and hope for the best at the time of death. No. We should strive diligently right now to advance to the higher stages. We should strive to come to the anartha nivritti stage. Very diligently strive to get rid of those anarthas in the heart. Let's see. Why? Well, to make sure we're going to, you know, to give us the best chances of going back to Godhead. Number two, to give us more empowerment for spreading this movement, to help other people. You see? What is the saying? Physician, heal thyself. So if I'm hanging on to my anarthas, not really being that eager to get rid of them, how potent of a preacher can I be? You see? How potent will I be? Well, I can't be that potent. So we should strive to come to the topmost position, you see, a pure love of God. We should strive for it diligently, beg for it. How do you beg for it? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. What are we begging for? Well, that means we're begging for prema. Krishna, please engage me in your pure devotional service without any tinge of material desire. Hare Krishna mantra means we're begging for prema. So let us focus in this way, begging to come out of these stages of the anarthas in the heart, you see. Let us beg diligently to get free from these anarthas. And who knows what can happen. I mean, miracles happen every day. Krishna will give all facility according to our desire, how intense our desires to achieve prema, Krishna will reciprocate with them. He will. Will he ignore it? No, of course not. He'll reciprocate. Whether we have a low intensity to desire, a higher intensity to desire, or a medium intensity to desire, Krishna will reciprocate accordingly. So the intelligent thing to do is to give up our low intensity desire and develop a high intensity desire to become a pure devotee. That's intelligent. Because Krishna will reciprocate with them. He will. He will reciprocate with them. And it's possible even within this lifetime to fully, even before leaving the body, it's possible to achieve the highest perfection. We read in the books about it, don't we? Narada Muni. He wasn't even a liberated soul who came from the spiritual world. He was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. You know the story? Upavarana, I think was his name. He was a pop singer. He was a Beatle in the heavenly planets. He had all these groupies. These females, there was a big, the demigods were having a big Sankirtan festival, and he came with all his groupies to sing some love songs, you know. I want to hold your hand. No, not that one, but, you know. And they cursed him to become a sudra. The demigods were so disgusted by this character, this pop singer with all the female, his female followers, they cursed him. You become sudra. You see? Narada Muni. In his previous life, you can read in the Bhagavatam. So even such a person, you see, he became such. He became in his next lifetime. He actually became, you know, liberated. So if even a, you know, a degraded pop singer can become can actually realize the perfection and have Krishna's darshan, become a fully liberated person, there's hope for us characters. There's hope for us characters, you see. And actually it's confirmed by Srila Prabhupada in his purport about Prithu Maharaj. He says, normally we think of liberation, you know, you die, you get liberated. But Prabhupada says, if one follows in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj, you can become liberated even within the present body. Now that's pretty cool. And actually Prabhupada ordered me like that in one letter. Prabhupada so kindly gave me one order. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So, is Prabhupada telling me that it's like pie in the sky when you die by and by? No. One can achieve such a state where you can directly see Krishna face to face, even within the present body. You see, that's prema. Krishna prema. Even the bhava stage. Actually, we read even the Bhava stage. So it's possible. So it's encouraging for us. Here we are battling it out in Bhajana Kriya, trying to get to Anartanavritti. And it's encouraging to know that, you know, you don't have to wait for death even. It's possible to fully realize Krishna now within the present body. As many great transcendentalists have proven in the history, it's possible. So why not endeavor for it while we're cleaning the pots? While we're distributing books, while we're doing kirtan, you see, why not go and do it, take it in a very, very deep meditative way? Let me do this in such a way that Krishna will be so pleased with me, you see. What's an example of this? We've all read the Nectar Devotion. You may remember that wonderful story of that Brahmana. He had no material means, but he heard in one discourse that even by meditating on devotional service, you get the result. So this Brahmana, he was sitting on the bank of the sacred Godavari River in South India. And he was meditating on cooking so many different offerings. He was doing this elaborate puja, all the preps, making all the very, very elaborate, wonderful feast he was cooking for Lord Narayan. And so he was making some sweet rice. And actually, you know, some people like sweet rice warm, but actually it's really, the best sweet rice is cool sweet rice. Yeah. Best sweet rice is cool sweet rice. So he was checking the sweet rice to make sure it was cool before he offered it to Lord Narayan. And he was so intense in his meditation that it was still warm. He burned his finger. And he came out of his meditation with his burnt finger. And Lord Narayan was seeing this from the spiritual world. He was so pleased with this Brahmana. He sent a Vaikuntha airplane down to pick him up. You got a charter jet. You got a Vaikuntha airplane came and picked him up and took him back to the spiritual world. So, hey, when you're cooking sweet rice, or you're scrubbing a pot, or you're out preaching on Oxford Street, or whatever you may be doing, try to do it in such a wonderful way that Krishna will send a Vaikuntha airplane immediately to pick you up. Why not? Why not think like that? Let me do this. Let me give such a wonderful lecture, or hear so nicely the lecture, or, you know, whatever service we're doing, mowing the lawn, you know, whatever it may be, working hard to make my family Krishna conscious. You see, as a householder, there's one bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one day, while engaging in my household activities, I saw my house transformed in Goloka Vrindavan. In household duties, all of a sudden, Goloka Vrindavan opened up. He was in Goloka Vrindavan. So why not? Why not strive for pure bhakti? Just imagine, you know, all of a sudden, you have a vision of Goloka Vrindavan right before your very eyes. You see Krishna. Just imagine. These stages are there for advanced Vaishnavas. Why not try for it? Why not strive for this pure bhakti, you see? What's the loss? Well, you didn't make it. Well, that's okay. By that striving, you became more Krishna conscious. That's the key, you see. By striving for pure devotional service, we become, even if we don't become completely pure, well, instead of being, you know, 30% pure because I was striving for pure devotional service, I ended up at 60% pure. You see what I'm saying? If you strive for perfection, even if you don't achieve it, you're going to advance quicker than if you don't strive for perfection. That's the point. Aim for the stars and at least you'll clear the fence. Because right now, we think sex is the most enjoyable thing, you know. That's the bestial mentality we have from our conditioning, the material. Yeah, sex is the greatest pleasure. But actually, the greatest pleasure is to become a pure devotee of the Lord. That's the ultimate pleasure. Every other pleasure is just a mirage in the desert. So we really have to have faith in this process and really strive for the topmost level and then just see what happens. Strive for perfection every day diligently. When you rise early, attend Mangal Arati, follow the Vaidhi Bhakti. Even if you're at home, you can have Mangal Arati. You see, even a quick duparti, 10 minutes, samsara dava nanalina loka. Follow the basic items of sadhana bhakti, vairi bhakti, given in the nectar of devotion. So wonderfully. And then, look at this. You've seen the second half of the nectar of devotion? Wow, it's pretty high level stuff. Really high level. It gets like, it shows you what happens if you follow the first half strictly. Follow the first half of the nectar of devotion strictly, and then you'll actually enter into what's experienced by this, the second half shows, but the devotees who have achieved the perfection, how the, what kind of relationships they're having with Krishna, what kind of rasa, what kind of pastimes, what, it's all there in the nectar of devotion, part one and part two. So anyway, I can ask now if there's some questions. Kind of speak up, and his body's getting deaf. Yeah.
Thank you so much. The dilemma I feel like I'm having in my spiritual life right now, dilemma, is I feel that if I try very hard, I feel that the pressure is very disheartening and failing is very disheartening. And sometimes I think I may need to relax and maybe you should perform joyfully performed. But then there's the risk of being too much in the comfort zone and not making progress. But if I try hard, I just feel...
Prabhu, I mentioned in my lecture, just try to be a little bit more Krishna conscious today than you were yesterday. That's all I'm saying. That's the bottom line. Because, you know, if I think, well, if I don't become a pure devotee, I'm going to chant my rounds today, and if I don't become a pure devotee, which end of these 16 months, I'm giving up the process. You know, not like that. No, let me just be a little bit more Krishna conscious today than I was yesterday. Okay. Let me strive for that. Now, will I always do it? No, I won't. Some days I'll be very Krishna conscious, some days I won't be. I'll be up and down like a yo-yo. But let me always make that my goal, that every day, let me try to become more Krishna conscious today. Let me see. So in this way, don't become discouraged. Actually, Prabhupada told one discouraged, morose devotee in Dallas, he said, don't be morose, don't be morose, don't be morose. And there's the old famous chant and be happy mantra from Prabhupada. Chant and be happy. Prabhupada ordered you to be happy. Okay? Whether you're happy or not, be happy. Prabhupada ordered you to be happy. Okay? So don't beat your head against the wall if you're not a Paramahamsa, if you're not an Uttamadhikari, don't beat your head against the wall. But just try to be more Krishna conscious today than you were yesterday. That's all. Does that help a little bit?
Helps a lot.
Okay, good. But we have to tell you the highest goal, so you'll know why you should become a little more Krishna conscious today than you were yesterday. You'll know what is the ultimate goal. It's just like, you know, I desire to be a millionaire, and if I don't become a millionaire by the end of the week, I'm just going to commit suicide. No. I had one of my godbrothers, he came from a Jewish background. I remember he came back, he was doing some business. He came back and he said, in a very enlivened, dedicated way, he said, "Another day, another dollar." So one must be very dedicated, just like a Jewish businessman, you know. If I can just advance my, another day, another dollar. And that way, if one is steady, another day, another dollar, eventually he'll become a millionaire. Because he's steady. Every day, another dollar. Every transaction, I must make a little bit of profit, you see. So in that way, if one is dedicated and steady, that I must always try to become more Krishna conscious, more Krishna conscious. And then every day you'll be enlivened, and now that day will come when you'll see Krishna face to face. Anything else?
Just one more.
Okay.
What does Krishna mean by devotional service should be joyfully performed?
It's to be joyfully performed. Don't do it in a begrudging mood. Prabhu, can you wash the pots? Yeah, okay. No, let me make that. It's like Tamal Krishnamurti, he wrote, he was the pot washer in our San Francisco temple, and he took it as, he wanted to make that pot absolutely spotless. You see? He took it in a very, very dedicated way. So that means don't begrudgingly do just like an attitude of, let me get this over with and get out of here. Let me do a first-class job, you see, for Krishna. Take it, whatever service, it doesn't matter. Let me do it in such a way that Krishna will be very pleased, you see. That's what it means, joyfully perform. If you try to please Krishna by the way you do your service, then you'll be ecstatic. Because we are part of Krishna. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So, if you please Krishna by your sincere endeavor, it will be ecstatic experience. It doesn't matter what the service is, any service. Just try to please Prabhupada, try to please your spiritual master, try to please the Vaishnavas. Try it in this way, you see. Try to please Krishna, and you will taste the ecstasy. You'll be ecstatic. Be bliss and heavy every day, Prabhu. Yes?
Could you say something about your early association with Vishnujana Swami?
My early association with Vishnujana Swami, yes. Well, I tell you, it was pretty ecstatic. Vishnujana Swami was just like now we have these big festivals, you know, so many big festivals. You go to a festival, Ratha Yatra Festival, or Mayapur Festival, or Kirtan Mela, so many big festivals with so many devotees, but just being with him, he was a festival. And just being with him, it was a festival. You know, just you and him, it was a festival. That was the amazing quality of Vishnujana Swami. He was in a festive mood. He was always in an embracing, a festive mood. But just that little tiny center, I mean, he came, it was amazing. He came to Austin, Texas, where I'm still located nowadays, with no money. No vehicle, no helper. Case of Bhakti Gaudiya magazine, a danda, a toothbrush, the old bound Bhagavatams, those three volumes, a little the purple abridged Macmillan, Allen Ginsberg introduced Bhagavad Gita, and he just went to an area called, it was like the hippie street market, it's across the street from the campus. He just started chanting. He clapped. He had no instruments, no kartals, no mridanga, no harmonium. He just had his hands and his voice. He just started singing and immediately attracted. He was like the Pied Piper coming into town. And immediately he attracted people, and he had a floating Nama hut every night, a different house. So you had to see where the Swami will be tonight. You go down to the campus to see where the Swami will do his program tonight. He would sell back to Gaudiya magazines for a whopping price of 25 cents. And he'd take all those quarters and he'd go to the grocery store about mid-afternoon and buy some boga. And he'd go to that house where he's having the program that night. He'd cook a feast that can't be beat. And you would go and you'd relish the nectar. Vishnujana Swami's kirtans, his lectures. I had associated with devotees before that, but they, to me, it seemed like, you know, okay, boy, it's time to join the boot camp, Marine Corps boot camp, you know. I wasn't ready to be, I actually was a draft dodger in the Vietnam War, and I found a way to legally avoid the draft. And to me, it looked like joining the army, the Brahmacharya Ashram, the devotee I met before Vishnujana, it was like joining the army, you know. It wasn't my cup of dal. But when I met Vishnujana Swami, it wasn't like joining the army. It was like joining the Festival of Bliss. It was a whole different mood. Come and join the Festival of Bliss. 24 hours a day, Festival of Bliss. So, yeah, it's pretty ecstatic. Everything became magical and mystical and wonderful with him. It was just absolutely amazing. Everything about him. We didn't have a Brahmacharya Ashram. We slept in the Prasadam room. We put our stuff in the closet during the day, and at night we'd pull out our sleeping bags. Vishwajana Swami, we'd all lay down like sardines in a sardine can. Vishwajana Swami would lay down in the back, the hands like this. In a row. We'd just be in a row on the floor all together. It was quite an experience with Vishnujana Swami. Of course, there's other later experiences too, when traveling with the Radha Damodar deities. This is the early days. There was just one bus, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj hadn't joined yet. He was still in India, the GBC. And we were traveling with one bus. There's about five, maybe eight brahmacharis and Vishnujana Swami. And he did the deity worship. He wouldn't give that to anybody else. We had other brahmins, but he did the deity worship. He would get there behind the curtains. He would bathe and dress Radha Damodar, and he'd come out with he had massaged the oil on his, you know, the hands, and massaged them. He would come out with the Prasadam oil in his hands, and we would all just smell right out of his hands the oil. We used to smell the oil from his hands. He would give his hands, and we would smell the oil from his hands, the Prasadam oil from the deities, Radha Damodar. And that, it was the most celestial, ambrosial smell you could ever imagine. It would just carry you out of the material existence. So these are some little tidbits of His Holiness Vishnujana Swami. Prabhupada actually wrote me a letter. He said, "You have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnujana Swami." So, whatever may have happened to him, he may have had some, apparently he had some difficulty down the road, but it didn't change what Prabhupada had confirmed, that wonderful training that I'd gotten from him, expert guidance. So it's always given me a strong foundation in Krishna consciousness. I remember I went to one. We didn't have Rath Yatras in those days. We used to have Chaitanya festivals. They had a huge paper mache murti of Lord Chaitanya, about 15 feet tall. And they carried that down the street. Instead of going with Jagannath, they went with a big murti of Lord Chaitanya down the street. It was something. And I'd gone up. I was a long-haired, long-bearded hippie character. I went up and stayed in the temple. And they had a play, the Kazi, you know, Lord Chaitanya and the Kazi. Who's going to play the Kazi? Well, this guy Steve with the long hair and the beard, he can be the Kazi. He looks the part. So I remember we came back to Austin, and that week I shaved up, and then Mohanananda called from Dallas to talk to Vishnujan. Vishnujan said, "Guess what? The Kakazi shaved up." So yeah, I had a lot of nectar floating around my heart. And some of it had been written down. I'm trying to put together some autobiography, and Vishnujan Swami would be very prominently present in certain, you know, different parts of it, obviously. Any other questions? Yeah.
I want to ask about, I have heard about golden middle, not to burn out and not to rest in there.
About what?
About golden middle, not too much for burnout.
Oh, a goal in the middle? No, one should have that. One should have the goal of Krishna prema, but it's not that if you don't achieve it, you know, that you should be satisfied. Well, how to say it? We don't want to say forget the ultimate goal, but at the same time, if one is discouraged because they're so far away from it. It's a balance between the two conceptions, really. You should strive for pure devotional service. But it's not that you should be frustrated if you're not able to manifest it and you come, you know, give up the process. Well, I strive for pure bhakti for 3 years, Prabhu, and I couldn't achieve it, so now I'm leaving the movement. You know, not like that. One should strive for pure devotion. And in that striving process, you should strive every day to strive to become more Krishna conscious than you were the previous day, because that's how you'll achieve it. It's generally speaking not an overnight or not an instantaneous endeavor, although there are cases where it did happen instantaneously. Maharaj Khatvanga, you know that story? Yeah. Everybody knows the story of Maharaj Khatvanga? Yeah. He was a powerful kshatriya on the earthly planet. He was so powerful that when the demigods were being overrun by the demons in the heavenly planets, they asked Maharaj Khatvanga, "You please come to the heavenly planets and help us. We can't fight, we're not successful in fighting off these demons. We need your help, Maharaj. Please come." So he came there, and many, many long years he valiantly struggled and he defeated the demons. The demigods were so pleased, they said, "Whatever you want that's within our power, we'll grant you. We're so pleased, but just ask whatever you want." So the kshatriyas, they were not just Raja, they were Raja Rishi, Rajarshi, they were saintly also. You see, the kings were not rogues and rascals like the politicians nowadays. They were great saints. They were great saints. So he said, "Just tell me when I will die. That's all I want to know. It's all, the only benediction I want to know is give me the knowledge of when I will die." He said, "Oh, your death is just now coming." He said, "Thank you very much." He took shelter of Krishna immediately and achieved perfection. So one should be striving, because death can come at any minute. At every minute we should strive for pure bhakti. But it's not that we don't achieve it, we get frustrated. We should try, at least if we can't become pure devotee, we should, like Khatvanga Maharaj did in 1 minute. Because generally it could take many lifetimes to become a pure devotee. But let me just try to become a little bit more Krishna conscious. I should strive for pure bhakti and at the same time try to become a little more Krishna conscious. Both endeavors should be there. I hope I haven't discouraged this devotee back here now. I should strive for both things. It's like the example of a Jewish businessman. He wants to be a millionaire, but he's happy another day, another dollar. Now that he's frustrated, he didn't achieve pure bhakti. He wants to be a millionaire, but he knows it's going to take some time. So at least I can have a little another day, another dollar. I'm getting there gradually. Does that help to make it clear? You should strive for pure devotional service. But within that, you should strive to be a little bit more Krishna conscious every day. Because generally, that's how it'll go. It'll take some time. Not that I'm an instant pure devotee. One thinks I'm an instant pure devotee. We used to have what we used in ISKCON called PD disease. Pure devotee, yes, I'm a pure devotee. There was one brahmachari, I remember. I couldn't believe it. He told me, he said, one day in the brahmachari ashram, he said, they just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. Well, he's not around. He didn't last much longer. He made a very flashy cassette tape that Viksaraj does. Very flashy cassette tape and then finished. Haven't seen or heard of him since. So he was advertising himself as a Paramahamsa, but, you know, it's just... So we had to be careful of not thinking that, yes, I am Paramahamsa or I'm pure devotee because I'm striving for pure devotee. No, we should be very honest and see, here I am battling it out in Bhajana Kriya, trying to at least get to the point of anartha nivritti. Actually, even the liberated souls think themselves, well, they don't think, yes, I'm a liberated soul. They don't advertise nor consider themselves to be great transcendentalists. The more you think you're advanced, you're fallen. The more you consider yourself fallen, you're advanced. So always try to feel very meek, humble, and lowly. That's how one advances in Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes?
You just finished the sentence, one should feel also lonely.
Lowly, not lonely. Lowly.
What does it mean?
Very low. Not lonely, no. There's no loneliness in Krishna consciousness. There is no loneliness. It doesn't exist. Because when it's directly associated with the supreme cool person at every minute, Krishna... There's no loneliness in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means no loneliness. You get to directly associate with God, the supreme superstar, at every minute. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So, Maharaj, if sometimes I do feel lonely, it means that I'm not associating properly with Krishna. Yes?
If you're feeling lonely, it means you're forgetting Krishna, Prabhu. Don't forget Krishna. And you may never feel lonely. Loneliness simply means I'm forgetting Krishna. I'm forgetting Prabhupada. Forgetting the devotees. I'm going off my own little, you know, manorata, the chariot of the mind. That's when you feel lonely. Stop being a jnani. Come be a bhakta. Bhakta, there is no such thing as loneliness for a bhakta. A devotee of the Lord, he never feels lonely. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, what level does one become an Uttamadhikari? It's an interesting question. I never read it in Prabhupada's book. Certainly on the prema level, one is Uttama. The question would be, well, the Sakti is Uttama. The Prabhupada hasn't answered that question that I've read anywhere because I've done research on this for various lectures I've given. I haven't read anything specifically. At what point do you actually, one is designated, considered to be an Uttamadhikari? So the answer is, I don't know. But definitely if you become pure devotee, obviously then. Definitely prema, maybe bhava, maybe a sakti. Maybe even lower. I can't say. If you look up the definitions of Uttamadhikari in Prabhupada's books, he gives many, many definitions. Actually, most of the definitions, our senior preachers in ISKCON would qualify for most of the definitions. Not all of them, but most of them. It's like seeing it externally, you know. It's an interesting question. At what point is one considered an uttamadhikari? Some people say, well, there are no uttamadhikaris in ISKCON. I heard that. But how do you know? If you know, you must be an uttamadhikari. You look in everybody's heart and say, I certify there are no uttamadhikaris in ISKCON. You must be one then. Because you're able to look in everybody's heart and see. See, it's presumptuous to say, at one point, the 11 gurus back in the Dzogchenpa days, they sent out an announcement, we are all uttamadhikaris. That was very presumptuous, and some of them ended up, you know, completely fallen shortly after them. That's presumptuous. To say there are no uttamadhikaris in ISKCON, that's also presumptuous. Either way, it's like two ends of the pendulum, you know. These gurus are all uttamadhikaris, that's presumptuous. None of the devotees are uttamadhikaris, that's also presumptuous. Thing is, we don't know. Because an uttamadhikari doesn't reveal himself as an uttamadhikari. He presents himself as a mancha. He never reveals something. Devotees press Prabhupada again and again and again. What is your rasa? Prabhupada said, that you do not require. Prabhupada would shout, that you do not require, very heavily. He wouldn't reveal these inner things. You see? So, if you really want to know Prabhu, become an uttamadhikari. And then you'll know. That's all I can say. When you fully realize Krishna, just like Prabhupada wrote me another letter, he said, when I joined, everybody could write Prabhupada. Can you imagine? It's cool that you can write Prabhupada. That when I joined ISKCON, that was the policy. Anybody who has a question, they can directly write Prabhupada. Do you think you would, if you had a chance to write Prabhupada a letter with your questions, you would go for it? When I joined, that was the policy. Anybody who wanted could write Prabhupada and ask questions. So sometimes I would ask Vishnu John Swami, and he'd say, I don't know. He encouraged me to write Prabhupada. So I got, But then shortly after that, because the movement was growing, they changed the policy. Only the sannyasis and the GBCs and the temple presidents should write Prabhupada. But I got addicted to it because I had written Prabhupada a few letters, got some answers back. Wow, I get a letter. When that letter came in the mail with the Sri Dandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, you know how you used to address the letters? I was a brahmachari then and said, this is how the letters were addressed. His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's how Prabhupada addressed his disciples when he wrote them letters. Can you imagine how respectful we are to each other? Hey, Prabhu. You know, but it was His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's, you get a letter from Prabhupada like that. Wow. So anyway, the new policy came into effect and I had to write Prabhupada. I just had to. I wanted that association. So I didn't put my return, I didn't put my name on the return address labels. Hopefully it wouldn't get under the radar, you know. And it did. It got under the radar. Prabhupada took the letter. He answered it. And he encouraged me to, you know, inquire from your temple president, you know, the new policy. He encouraged me to follow the policy. But then he said, in fact, he instructed me to follow the policy. But then he very mercifully said, but if there is any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. Wow. Thank you, Prabhupada, for the loophole. Prabhupada gave me a loophole. This is the policy, Sankarshan Das. But if you have an urgent need, you can write me directly. He gave me an exception to the rule. I had an exception from Prabhupada. That I could write him. But in this letter, the same letter, he gave me a little inside tip to help me because you can see this one likes to ask a lot of questions. He gave me a little inside tip. He said, if you will serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. So, if you want to really get the answer to that question, Santanu. You serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24/7. And then Krishna will personally come to you and answer every question you have about everything. I'm just passing it on from Prabhupada. Since I couldn't answer it, I'm passing it on to Prabhupada, told me. So our time is just about up. We got a couple of minutes so before the transcendental Lord mercifully reveals himself once again to us souls hungry for his darshan. Anything else?
Prabhupada gave one definition of uttamadhika is that uttamadhika is so fixed up and he can defeat all kinds of argument.
Yeah, that's one definition Prabhupada gives of uttamadhikari is this. In one place, this is how Prabhupada describes the difference. He said the Kanishta Adhikari, his faith is not firm. He can be diverted from Krishna consciousness. The Majjhima Adhikari, Prabhupada in one place says he cannot fall down. In one place, Prabhupada says, a Majjhima Adhikari, he has firm, he has solid faith. That means nishta. According to one place, the Majjhima is on the nishta stage. He has firm faith. He cannot fall down from Krishna consciousness. But he's not expert in defeating opposing arguments. But then Prabhupada says, the Uttama Adhikari, he has the firm faith, and he's very expert in logical arguments and in scripture, in defeating the arguments. So that's one definition Prabhupada gives of uttam. That's the difference. He's very expert in defeating opposing arguments. You can throw in just Prabhupada, we saw this in Prabhupada. This is what so much convinces me of how Prabhupada's position as a great realized soul, is how expert he is at defeating every argument. Very, very expert. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to advance a little bit more on the pathway to achieve the ultimate goal of prema? So we thank you all very much for coming tonight. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. We're applauding Prabhupada.